what teenagers and young adults go through with pimples. I think people in their middle age and kind of older go through with aging.
45 to 55 age. They think it's the end of the life. They look and start crying, saying my whole confidence is gone.
People my age, it's often noticing the lips.
When you notice, it is a bad job. The minute you can put a finger and say, ah, she did a lip, she did a brow, she did a cheek, done, finished.
I have so many questions about this Korean skincare thing. What's the hype? Why is there so much hype about Korean skincare?
You look at the Koreans and you think, I will get the glass skin. Not happening, that's ethnic.
What is a filler exactly?
I'll tell you the difference between filler and Botox. Let's pull up Madonna. Now, this image is what blew the net.
All these procedures, are they an addiction?
Yeah, it's an addiction for everyone.
What is a facelift?
Imagine you're pulling all your hair up. Isn't your skin looking tighter? Basically, they're lifting this.
Facelift done at the right time is beneficial.
Much better than facelift done much, much later in life.
Damn. What's the right age to consider getting an anti-aging treatment done?
Scientifically, 25.
Having chewing gum is actually bad for your long-term cosmetics.
Chewing gum khaake, this is a mesenteric muscle. It just expands.
Only on TRS. She's one of the most reputed dermats, not just in the country, but in the world. One of the key takeaways from the last blockbuster episode that we did with Dr. Rashmi Shetty. That one was about acne. But one of the key takeaways was the fact that a dermat has kind of an artist's job as well. You have to help people with the aesthetics, the cosmetics of their face. That's where it becomes a very nuanced skill. What I gained from that last episode was the fact that Dr. Rashmi Shetty believes that much in her own abilities. She said that if she has administered a Botox-based treatment or a fillers-based treatment to anyone, the world will not get to know that the patient has used Botox or fillers. This episode is centered around the process of aging. So whether you're someone who's currently dealing with some aging related issues, firstly, I want to say it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly natural. I want you to breathe deeply. Breathe in, breathe out. Enjoy yourself before this episode starts because we're going to deep dive into the process of aging. And even if you're someone who's not encountered the perils or the challenges of aging yet, you will go through that process. All I want to say before the start of this episode is that it's all about the biology and practical aspect of aging. But aging is a privilege denied to many. And now I will let you slip in to this special biology-based skincare and aging special with Dr. Rashmi Shetty. Dr. Rashmi Shetty is back for another epic TRS episode.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you, ma'am?
Much more loved than before the TRS episode, I must say.
Yeah, because people really, really are conscious about their skin, their hair. Yeah. And when they see an empathetic dermat, it's a very nice feeling. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that that's what people gravitated to you?
That's
for?
What they start picking up even from the show. Otherwise, to see that side of you, it takes, for example, a few consultations to meet you and they get to know you as a person. They all come thinking, oh my God, she must be, you know, doctor to the stars, and she must be aloof, and she might be, you know, like a cut and dry person, but they see it differently. But it takes some time for them. But I think post your show, people who have walked into the practice walk in feeling like they know me, that I'm warm. So that's something I think you pulled out in the show. And I must say, thank you so much.
No, you're most welcome, ma'am. Let's begin this conversation about aging skin, not with biology, but with judgment and emotion.
Gracefully aging.
Gracefully aging.
That word is like, oh my God, what does that mean? I like to age gracefully. Fine. But what does that mean? Why do you think grace is taken away if you want to take care?
Okay, now I'll pause you a little bit here.
Yeah.
I'm not fully able to connect to what you're saying right now because my own life's journey has not reached that point where I'm dealing with skin aging related issues.
Yeah.
But my assumption is that what teenagers and young adults go through with pimples, I think people in their middle age and kind of older go through with aging, like, oh, my wrinkles are starting to show, oh, my skin is getting loose.
Yeah.
Is it a similar kind of psychological, you know,
oh, yeah.
issue?
So much. In fact, I was thinking the other day that I should literally do like this, whatever, help group, chat group of a 45 to 55 age. Like you said, it may look trivial to some person. Are yaar, aging age gracefully, big deal. Or, oh, it's just aging. Oh, it's a natural thing. It to hona hi tha. But when it happens to you, like how you teenagers are under pressure looking at yourself, either in your selfies or other people commenting, at our age, we are also right now looking at either perfectly done faces, perfectly lit faces, perfectly cleaned up faces, right? So my mother looked at her lines in a different way than I look at my lines. For example, it traumatizes a lot of people. I have people, when I finish working on them, they look at the mirror and not just say, wow, it is nice. They look and start crying, saying, you don't know what you did to me. My whole confidence is gone. I remember that. I usually remember these Hindi sentences because that's not the language that I think that stays in my head. So she said, आपको पता नहीं है आपने क्या किया, मैं सोचा अभी गया, हो गया मेरा लाइफ. सो इट्स दैट मच फॉर देम दैट दे थिंक इट्स द एंड ऑफ द लाइफ व्हेन यू डू दैट ट्रांजिशन ऑफ वॉट एवर यू आर लुकिंग टू सडनली लुकिंग डिफरेंटली. सो इट्स नॉट ईजी. आई डोंट नो हाउ टू एक्सप्रेस इट. आई एम नॉट एज आर्टिकुलेट एज यू आर इन वर्ड्स, बट आई एम टेलिंग इट्स वेरी ड्रामेटिक. आई हैव सीन इट इन पीपल, वेरी सैड that their face is changing or their hair is changing or they're looking different than what they were looking.
Have older people come to your clinic and cried about aging?
Yeah. Like, it's an everyday thing. Initially, I used to think, why are you doing this? Like, it's fine, you know. You know, how will say, if somebody says, I'm sad, you'll say, chalo, do the next thing. That's where we come from.
Because science.
Yeah, probably. We are very clinical about it, right? But now I see the human side behind it, that it can be really traumatic for a person to see them.
Okay, I think this is a right point on the show to actually get into the science. So you can go as deep as you want, because that's what I've realized about this audience. So go into like hyper deep biology. We'll also come out into very practical everyday solutions that an average non-science student can also understand. But let's start with the deep science so people at least get comfortable about what they are dealing with in terms of their own face and their own skin. So ma'am, over to you. Wherever you wish to begin the science, we can begin there.
So I was thinking, let's start from the cell, right? Understanding why are we aging. So one is, there's a lot of studies still happening. Nothing is very, very conclusive and written in stone. There's so much new things happening. Because of the longevity right now, we've found a medicine for every infectious disease, which was the biggest killer at some point of time. Cardiac, we've mastered it. Renal, we've mastered it. We've literally mastered everything. So longevity is going to be a boon or a bane. You live forever. Would you want to? I don't want to, for sure. And firstly, if I want to live forever, I want someone telling me I will look a certain way, feel a certain way, have a certain energy. Where I'm living, what am I doing? I still want to be able to do new things, same things, different things, but I want to do. That youthfulness in my energy, looks, life, system, organs, whatever you call, has to be there, right? So longevity can't be on a one-track note. Just I'm living and doing what? So that is why I told it could be a bane. Unless that is also understood very well to say, how do you keep the rest of the things alive? So my whole point is, a lot of work is being done. That is why focusing on that place. We'll tell you about trends also. We can discuss later of what's happening and what's not right. But the cellular level, there are multiple theories. One theory is shortening of telomere, which has been happening for a while, which is cutting off of the edges of your
DNA strand.
Yeah, coding strand. Like, so that is what is happening.
Got it.
So that is one. Now we know that is also, yes, it's getting shorter. So it's not able to really put the message properly and replicate properly in exactly how it should be.
Okay.
So it is altering its functions as it goes along, and slowly aging is happening. That is one. Two, senescence, which means a cell is dead to multiply, but it is not fully dead. It is also sitting there and eating your food. It is also putting out its waste. So that is causing problem in the system. which we may call as inflammation, oxidative stress, all of this. Yeah. So that is happening. Cellular senescence is another line of thought and topic of why we are aging. Next one is that the potency of the cell to multiply itself in the exact same replica is going down. Exhaustion is happening. So that is another theory of cellular exhaustion itself. Then you have methylation, which is methyls end up coming and sticking itself everywhere. So the DNA is not able to do its job well and express well. Methylation is one more theory that is happening. Then there is mTOR, which is mammalian target of rapamycin. Now you're supposed to have a down-regulated mTOR. When it starts to upregulate, it is adverse for your aging. Basically, you start aging faster. Now, mTOR is something which clears out your bad protein. So let's just keep it at that.
Okay, just small pause on you. Sorry. But I'm noticing that other than that shortening of telomeres theory, in all these other theories, it's basically like the excretory system of your cell stops working well. In terms of your...
Not just excretory. Basic function only. I am supposed to be a doctor. I forget to be a doctor. I'm alive. I'm here. But I've forgotten how to diagnose.
Like
then I'm going to act like a...
Yeah.
Anything, no?
Like to make it very easy to understand for the average person. In the same way that say 100-something-year-old person becomes maybe bedridden. Maybe their mind stops working slowly. In the same way your cells are also working the same way.
The cell has made the mind, made the brain, right?
Yeah.
Cell has made your stomach. Cell has made your kidney. So if those cells work weirdly, the group of the cell which is made a liver or become a kidney is working differently.
God.
That is what happens.
This is the root of aging.
Correct.
And it's not easy to solve this root problem.
Because it is not fully understood.
Hmm.
If I understand, I'll not age only, no? I'll have a medicine. That's why that rapamycin became right now is the most talked about drug of longevity. Rapamycin. If you go and Google search and the internet people can look at it, that rapamycin, which was just an antifungal, I think it was antiviral or antifungal, I've forgotten, which now has brought in because it is supposed to downregulate your TOR, which I was talking about, mTOR. So that is big. They say you can go back by 10 years if you start doing it.
Go back by 10 years.
Yeah, as in become youthful by 10 years.
Damn.
And then there is metformin, which is another drug. Now that you're talking drug, there's metformin is another drug. Heavily talked about saying this is your youth drug. It is actually an anti-diabetic drug. But if you end up taking a certain dose on everyday basis, I know of two senior dermatologists. I don't want to name them just for the sake of their in identity protection, but beautiful two senior dermatologists who I love and respect, husband and wife in their 80s, are taking metformin for a long time. You should just see them. You should just see them. They are like so youthful. I'm not saying he doesn't have a wrinkle, he doesn't have a line, he doesn't have a dip on his face or whatever, whatever. All that is there or not there. He is erect. Bone density is good. You can see he's so active. You should see his lecture actively practicing, both of them. The most well-dressed man I've ever seen. Knows his vines, knows how to talk to you. Most polite. Like, he's like, wow. So to me, there are so many things which is doing it. But one of the things that he does is, along with lifestyle and exercise and XYZ, blah, 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 metformin is one thing that he takes. So he's the one who initiated me to think metformin, not that I've started taking it, think metformin. Internationally, it's a big deal. People are doing it now. So what it says is the way your insulin and your glucose behaves, that is what this ends up changing. Also, it ends up changing and in fact reduces the ATP, which is your energy giving thing. We all know that, right? So it reduces the ATP production of a cell. Now, that should be counterproductive. But when the ATP is slightly slowed down, cell thinks, array, ATP is slowing down, full gusto, I will make more ATP.
It's like giving your cell more sleep.
No, it is by cheating, it's saying my feedback is deprived a little. Oh, I'm deprived, I will do it more. It's like a teenager.
Ah, okay.
So it's like that.
Reverse
you're
psychology.
You're not resting it. You're basically showing it that I'm depleted. Depleted, I will work harder, is what it's going to take on.
Okay.
So that's how a metformin works. So it works in at those levels to make sure your whole organ protection is done really well. Yes, even a non-diabetic can take it. It's got nothing to do with your glycemic intake. So that's, or your way it is metabolized. It's even a non-diabetic can't take it. No, this is not prescription. I'm not telling you anything here. Please, this is a disclaimer. I'm just explaining science. You need to go to your doctor to figure out whether you should or should not take.
Sure.
So that is the, after rapamycin, this is another drug that is really talked about. Then there is sirtuins, which is the topic today. So there is this doctor, PhD doctor, called as David Sinclair, who's a Harvard scientist. He's doing a lot of work on anti-aging. So if you look him up or look at his book, it talks about something called as sirtuins. There are 7 sirtuins described by him. 1 and 3, I think, are studied well. And these are to be upregulated. So like an mTOR has to be downregulated for you to stop aging or reverse aging or be better at aging, while your sirtuins are supposed to be upregulated.
Upregulated means increased?
It should get better, yes. It should be increased in your body. Now, let's just leave science at that. Now, all of this that I described, methylation also I spoke about, right? The methyls come and methyls come and join, and they are like sitting on top of your DNA structure, so they don't let it express properly.
Hmm.
That's another thought of how aging happens. The other interesting thought, which has actually come to a little bit of application, is cellular communication.
Hmm.
What you popularly call it exosomes now, which is used in hair treatment and skin treatment. So exosomes, we understood, is not just the cell is dying, cell is changing, cell is not reproducing. Cells are forgetting to communicate with each other. That is also causing problem. That is also causing aging. So we said, okay, let us put some communicators back. Let us teach them back how to communicate with each other. So they are now friends and they remember to how to work in a group and go on. So that's the newer one also, which is cell-to-cell communication. Exosome is the technical term for it. Mitochondria, another big thing for you to understand. A lot, some 2-3 years ago, mitochondria was a buzzword. Oh, mitochondrial health, mitochondrial aging. Yes, that is your energy source in every cell. So mitochondrial aging can also cause aging. So then this is this by and large thing that I gave you of aging. If I have to simplify cellular aging and tell you what you can do at home to make the age, cell age less, everything here only comes down to 2 or 3 important things. One is oxidative stress. One is inflammation. And then the last is that bad protein sitting. That's it.
You treat celebrities. Every celebrity is concerned with aging. Like I have celebrities that I know who are younger than me who are concerned with aging.
Yeah, yeah. Kids, why celebrity? Regular ones will come. Can I start anti-aging? Look at.
Yeah. At what age? 25?
22 also I get.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of aging happens at 22?
Exactly. So they'll come. Can I start anti-aging? Do you think it's the right time to start retinol? Do you think I should start anti-aging? Oh, I read this. Do you think I should start this? What supplement should I be taking? Yeah, but all that will start.
What changes are they seeing on their own face which makes them think that they need anti-aging?
One line here. Maybe when they smile, there's a line here. Now that is there for everybody.
Isn't that attractive?
That's very attractive. Like I do a lot of Botox, if I can say so. But when I do, I keep telling them, there are certain lines, like you said, life story tells on your face.
Mm.
If you have had a tough life and the story has been toughened, or even otherwise your frown is really too strong, for example, which is a negative emotion, right? You don't want to be frowning and being angry. So I like to Botox this. But a smile is a happy story to tell no matter which age, what phase. So I never take away these lines which are called as crow's feet. I ease them. I inject in such a way that I'll pull the lateral brow up a little. So the open eye, it's not just about aging. Like I'm Botoxed. You see, I can't frown, but I can still do this. So I keep the movement intact. But when this wears off, it's not that I get my frown back that worries me. What worries me is at my age, this starts to weigh down on me.
Mm.
And I hate that heaviness of the brow sitting on my eye.
Mm.
So I like that I have it up and that's how I've had it all my life. It gives me a more open-eyed look. That's what most patients tell me who are 40 plus.
Mm.
When the Botox wears off, either we get a headache because then they're looking at things differently and they're frowning, or they end up feeling that I don't like thing weighing heavy. Mm. So that's something we do. So why I started talking is, yes, that's a negative expression. There are certain muscles which give you a negative expression. Certain gives you a happy expression. Also, why a 22-year-old is coming to me is because they're saying, for example, tear trough.
What?
Tear trough. if you look at Instagram and internet today, everyone is talking about, oh, the under eye tear trough and I did a filler. You're 22, you look at a child, they'll have a tear trough. That is how the face is. What? And as Indians, we are more prone to that little khadda under the eye like this.
Okay, sunken eyes.
Like a sunken eye could be posteriorly set eye, a lot of sunken eye. Yeah, commonly called a sunken eye. So you have that little line like this. So yeah, so it's like this. For example, if you look at this image, there is something, there's this line that's going like this. And you see a little hollow under the eye.
Hmm.
People just don't like it. And it's more seen in more brown people, Indian people, because you also have a slightly pigmented around the eye skin.
Why is that? So that just genetics.
That is how the brown color behaves. We are colored people. We are slightly browner than a pale person. A pale person might see a little bluish grayish discoloration.
Damn.
We will see more of a brownish blackish discoloration. And again, very ethnic it is. So as Indians, we all have little pigmentation around the eye, little pigmentation around the mouth, perioral, periocular pigmentation is what we call. Can happen. So therefore, when people come to me and say, can I have a Korean glass skin? I'm using Korean regime. I'm like, not possible. Ethnically, Koreans have a glass skin. Go to Korea, like I used to go, even now I go internationally lecturing here and there. So I did one long trip in Korea where I was teaching. At that time, you look at that skin. It's just polished on the television when you see Korean serial. The kids are like that. People are like that. They have beautiful skin, flawless, no pigmentation, well stretched, but they have horrible pores that they hate. So each ethnicity has a problem. Likewise, ours has slightly patchy skin. Even if you use a Korean 10-step regime, you will not get a Korean skin.
Yeah, I have so many questions about this Korean skincare thing. What's the hype?
Yeah.
Why is there so much hype about Korean skincare?
Yeah, because you look at the Koreans and you think, I will get the glass skin. Not happening. That's ethnic.
Okay.
It is not their 10-step regime which led to that. They are like that.
I think there is an urban legend that Korean skincare is 30 years ahead of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, in short.
They dish out so many things there because that has happened. Mm. And they're so interested in skincare. You go to, I forget the names of the streets, I travel too much, but there's one street in Korea. Like, it's like how you would sell, let's say, peanuts on the road if you go to a highway. They're selling facial masks like that.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. Hmm. It's like, I'm like, what is this? Tons of facial sheet masks. So it's what is hyped in which country.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Korea because actually Korean culture is very, very popular now with Gen Zs and Gen Alphas, especially. Yeah. I really enjoyed what Korea is culturally when I was there. Yeah. You know how some people travel to have food experiences or some people travel to see things? I travel for human beings. Yeah. I go to see human stories. Yeah. I felt everyone there was stressed out. Yeah. And apparently Korea has one of the highest rates of career-related suicides.
Really?
Yeah, there's a term, I forgot what it's called, but it's in both Japan and Korea. It's suicide as a result of overworking.
Not that they haven't achieved the career goal.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I think it's death as a result of overworking. I can't remember the exact word, but it's an actual cultural thing there.
How scary.
So my point is, generally, the experience of going there, I love the country. I admired the hard work of the people, but it's too much stress. And that got me thinking that, is that the reason the skincare industry has flourished so much? Mm-hmm. Because they view life and aging also with the same stress that they view.
And the gusto.
Yeah. Can you just like Google that death because of aging thing? What is the scourge of South Korea? Stress and suicide in Korean society. Suicide is everywhere, says South Korean author, Young Ha Kim. 13th largest economy. Suicide is the fourth most common cause of death in South Korea. On an average, 40 people commit suicide every day. South Korea has the highest suicide rate among OECD.
Organization for Economic Cooperation
and Development. Probably developed countries, which include Germany, UK and Japan. It's the only OECD country whose suicide rates have increased since the 1990s. For years, social scientists have puzzled over why this economically successful state has such startlingly high suicide rates. That's all I wanted to pull up like from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to actually tie it into being that concerned with how you look in society, which is there in our society also, ki kya kiya hai life mein aapne? You know, what have you done in your career? But also, how do you look? the projection of yourself.
Yeah, you need to look successful.
Yeah, which honestly, on a very primal level, actually not on a primal level, on a very modern level, I would tie to what we spoke about the last time, that people being that concerned about acne problems or in today's case, aging related problems. Yeah. It is such a stressful thing for people.
Same thing. It's very stressful.
So while Korea has given these gifts of like skincare, we also need to highlight the flip side of the coin, taking nothing away from the greatness of that country. There's a lot to look up to and respect that country for, but this is the flip side of caring so much about skin. Do you want to actually, just so people understand it better, ma'am, right before the episode started, we were talking about how people from the media industry, especially, which is actors, models, influencers, anyone on screen, are so concerned about the way they look, where it reaches a point where it severely affects their mental health.
Yeah, and also I want to say, tell everyone that don't believe how they look at 40 is how they actually look. Like, we meet them, we know there's so much cleanup going on.
Cleanup means?
As in post-production, not one post they will let out without having cleaned. So you are thinking, oh, I am at 40 looking so horrible, look at her, she's looking so beautiful, and you're getting stressed and sad and upset about it, and then you're running from one doctor to the other doctor to say, I want to do this. If she can look, why can't I look? I'm like, no. For there are so many people, when some people come and say, look at her, she's looking like this, why can't I look at 40? And I'm like, one, I know she comes to my clinic. I know it. This is not how exactly she looks. There are lines on her face. There are some freckles on her face, or there are some pigmentation patches on her face. The photo that you're seeing today is made, makeup, lighting. You know, going back to how, let's say, I was looking in the last show, right? We lit in a certain way. We didn't care because we were thinking a science podcast. How does it matter? I got feedback from my people in the media saying, you've lit from the top, therefore every defect of yours was highlighted.
I also want to highlight that we do podcasts with every profession. It's only the actors, models and influencers who highlight lighting as an issue. They are very particular about it. No other profession, business, army, no one cares.
Yeah.
But the moment you're a media person, you're very aware of these things because, and it's very fair.
Yeah.
Your
profession
job
is about looking good and pleasing people and making them feel happy at that moment.
Yeah.
So to me, I want to tell all those 40 odd, 50-ish people who are sitting and thinking, if she can look like that, why can't I look like that? She, whoever it is not exactly looking like how you're looking at it in the picture. There is she, and then there is all of us assisting her to look a certain way. Plus, even with the best of us assisting them, they're not looking exactly what you're seeing in the photo. There is lighting, there is makeup, there is whole load of touch-up, clean-up post the picture is taken.
There's Photoshop and now AI tools.
People will end up coming and telling me, oh, but Photoshop, they can do on photo. How are they doing airport looks? And everything is cleaned up. Even that is cleaned up.
Yeah. Even to the degree now where if we see films, like it's very obvious to notice where Shah Rukh Khan's skin has been changed. Youngified.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or Ranbir Kapoor's skin. And I think it's very fair and normal because you're trying to project a younger character.
Yeah.
But I also want to kind of ask you a very practical angle here. So say if an actor is turning 40, they're obviously going to have some aging issues. It could be that tear trough thing you spoke about. It could be wrinkles.
Yes.
Ma'am, so as a clinical professional, you view these problems individually. And then there are individual solutions for it.
If today you don't like the way you're aging, there are solutions.
Okay.
So my only advice is seek the right professional, because again, like you said, this has become like a Korea thing that everybody wants to look good. Therefore, the demand is so high. Therefore, the supply genuinely of well-qualified doctors may not be enough.
Wow.
So there are a lot of so-called, you know, anti-aging clinics, centers, salons, which are doing things non-qualified. There is a very popular fellow in Bombay who is a school dropout. Not even a graduate, forget being a doctor, who's pretty popular, who does all the equipments that doctors are doing. You can't, and they will, and again, equipments, when you go to see, not everybody has a proper FDA approved equipment with them. There are so many Me Too equipments, because some equipments, science and research is so expensive that the equipments are very, very expensive. Not every clinic can just buy and put it there. So you need to really think of all these things. Wherever there is a high demand, there are people who are trying to supply it high and look at it as a business opportunity, right? So don't become somebody's business opportunity. If genuinely something bothers you, go to a qualified doctor, and there is definitely a solution today. Whether it is dry skin, whether it is pigmentation, whether you're looking at your skin and thinking, oh, my skin was looking much more fresher. I look dull today. I look tired today. There are people who come and saying, I used to look shades lighter and now I don't look like that. Lines that are coming in, hollows that are happening on your face, shadows that you're not liking in the picture. Everything has a science behind it, which we'll explain in this podcast to say how aging happens at a physical level. We went to the cellular level detail, physical level. It's not just the skin which is changing. There's bone changing, you know. So we'll get into that level of how layer by layer things are changing for you to just see a dull skin.
Hmm.
But it is not dull skin. There are other things that's happening behind it, which is making it appear like a dull skin. All of this has a solution, but just go to the right provider. So we are helping. Obviously, there is a 20-year-old actress. You track her career. Sometimes she will look exactly like that at 40, or sometimes a lot better at 40. You'll not a good job. You can't make out what's been done.
Mm.
It's a slow transition. You look at their first movie to now. You say, whoa, how does she look this pretty now? So it's not just that work has been done on them. They have groomed themselves. There is better lighting today, better makeup today. They've realized what to do.
Mm.
All of that contribute to them looking much better at 40 than they looked at 20.
Gotcha. Okay. We have to do some screen exercises now so that people can understand these topics better.
Mm.
My first question to you, ma'am, is the safety angle of it. You said that there are non-qualified professionals who actually may be a reason for the bad Botox cases that you see, or the bad filler cases where you look at someone's face and you know that work has been done.
Exactly. Firstly, qualified doctor, qualified dermatologist, qualified plastic surgeon. These are the people who are allowed or qualified and trained to do aesthetic dermatology job.
So is
an aesthetic physician, then there is an aesthetic dermatologist or a cosmetic dermatologist, then there's a cosmetic surgeon. Since we are talking about cosmetic and anti-aging, I'm sticking to this and not saying clinical also. These are the basic minimum things you should look at.
Is this an MBBS?
MBBS is your basic degree you must have. Thereafter, you can have a DDV, DVD, MD, in a plastic surgeon's case, an MCH plastic surgery, all of this. There is a site that maybe I think you can pull up our names called IADVL, which is Indian Association of Dermatologists and Venerologists.
Mm.
So this is IADVL, which is Indian Association, which is the largest association today, has all of our names who are legitimate dermatologists. Their names will be there. Their numbers will be there. Registration numbers will be there. So look that up. And again, I don't know who this should address to and who may get angry with this comment. Salons are equipped to take you to a certain level.
Mm.
In your anti-aging or in your skin care. But if they start using equipments that is meant to do in a doctor's office, I highly advise you not to do that. It's not I was doing a pedicure, they did my HIFU. Are?
Mm.
You can't do that. It was easy, I did it there. No, you can't do it. Oh, I was doing a manicure, aisa hi IV kara diya. Hello?
IV?
That's become a fashion right now, right? There are IV bars where they do intravenous injections of various things.
What things?
Anything. They will call it different things. This is some youthifying thing. This is a early morning after party thing. This is skin fairness thing. This is this thing. Please don't fall for all these marketing terms. Your IV. Take it very seriously. It's intravenous going straight to your heart.
The blood of a 10-year-old often.
I'm Daya. There is this whole one generation, right? Three people from one family ended up exchanging blood. That became a huge thing on thing. But that still is being talked about in a slightly scientific way, where I said, you know, the communicators, the exosomes, the this, the that of a young blood definitely is better than an old blood. So they are doing the full transmission of a young to an old blood in the family. But guys, this is all still fancy schmancy. Hold on.
This also goes into conspiracy theory domain sometimes. Like, I'll be in rooms where we're talking about how billionaires end up looking younger. And someone will always say, oh yeah, Jeff Bezos and all these guys, they take the blood of 10-year-old orphans. I don't know. As in, it's a conspiracy theory from the West that they do blood transfusions.
Yeah.
And their own blood is replaced.
If all this could have been, but Jeff Bezos with all the money wouldn't have had hair on his head.
Mm.
That is then. look at Tom Cruise, look at his body, look at his efficiency, look at what he does.
Mm.
But if you see, you can see the skin has aged. You can see things are turning, right?
Mm.
These guys are, for example, having access to the best of things. What is our Tesla guy?
Elon Musk looked older.
He looks scary.
Yeah, he looked older at 28 though. Like, he's got his hairline redone and like...
Yeah, a lot of things he's redone, but that doesn't... Does he look like you?
Mm.
He doesn't, right? You can make out his age. You can make out his age. It's not like you and Elon Musk walk together tomorrow. Hairline might be matching inch to inch. Whatever. Things could be matching. But you can make out that he's that age.
Yep.
10 years you can hide, maybe making it younger. But that genetically a lot of us can hide anyways.
Type bad celebrity Botox.
Images John, in that which I can pull out.
John Travolta Botox. How can you like tell you?
So if you see that earlier one, you will already see there was a deep hollow on both the sides of his cheek.
Mm.
And he is not necessarily blessed with a nice cheekbone projection. He already had his lateral eyebrow which was dipping.
Hmm.
And if you see his eyes is small and dipping down, it's horizontal, slanting down.
Right.
All these are not necessarily positive things for you in terms of how you will age.
Hmm.
Now, so he would have aged badly. Then they ended up doing some work on him. This definitely looks like also surgical work. Maybe the pickup of excessive skin has been done. Otherwise, that jawline to be remaining like that is very difficult. Number one. Two, if that hasn't been done, if this is photo and Photoshop, then there's definitely a little bit of a filler on his cheek. Also, lower face becomes heavier as you grow older because naturally the fat starts to come down.
Mm.
And it settles down. So if you see from the face from this, ends up becoming this as you grow older.
Like a bulldog.
Yeah, everything comes down. Skin is coming down. Your certain fats are shifting down. That I want to do as a proper section so we're not confusing people.
No,
how
sure.
The layers of the aging goes.
You know, as a layman, I noticed two things which give it out to me like very fast. Mm. The first is the hairline, which is extremely straight. That's not how natural hairline
beautifully
is.
Beautifully crafted.
Yeah, it shouldn't be so beautiful actually. It should be slightly imperfect.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that this is because he went for the second most or third most expensive person. I think the most expensive person that would do a better job. artistic job.
So that was a very well-written thing. You know, I have people who've come to me with faces that have been so badly done. I'm sorry to say that, but so badly done. And they come to me and they say, Doc, we should have come to you the first time. We thought you were very expensive and we didn't come.
Mm.
And I keep thinking, in this 3 or 4 attempts that you have done to do and correct and do and undo, the money you've spent way more, one, and the damage that you've caused is so much. I always love to work on a clean canvas.
Mm.
Once it's kind of destroyed, then to undo and do becomes such a big task. You can do it, you can improvise, but I would rather work on a clean canvas.
What is a filler exactly? Kya hota?
So at this point, I'll tell you the difference between filler and Botox.
Sure.
Okay. So Botox is nothing but a protein when injected into the muscle will ease the muscle and therefore the line that is formed because of muscle contraction reduces.
So the wrinkle.
Correct. So I'll tell you an example. You smile.
Mm.
These lines form. You frown, which I can't. Like I said, I'm Botoxed. You frown. These lines form, right? In the human body, muscles of the body are attached to the bone. Therefore, all the actions happen when the muscle contracts, right? So it contracts to make this happen. Now, that is how the bone works. The muscles on the body work. While muscles on the face are attached to the skin. So each time I contract to make an expression, the muscle contracts and so the skin contracts with it. Repeated movement of that muscle is what is making the lines etch to become so-called wrinkle. So each time you smile, there is a muscle around your eye, which is orbicularis oris, which is a purse string kind of muscle. It's a round muscle, round, 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 round it goes, the fibers like this. So whenever I close my eyes or smile, all these lines will keep forming.
Mm.
Eventually, it'll etch because the skin along with it is coming. Correct? And I'm doing this. There's a frontalis muscle attached to the skin. I keep doing this. It'll keep pulling that skin with it and these lines will start forming. That is how lines are formed. Okay? That's one kind of line which forms with muscle contraction because muscle is attached to the skin. That I can ease with the Botox.
Ease means?
Means when I inject Botox into that muscle at various points, Now, again, that is complex because I need to know the depth of the muscle, bulk of the muscle, extent of the muscle, all of this, any interdigitation of that muscle with another muscle, all this I need to know. And I inject precisely, and that is different in different people again.
This is where Botox can go wrong as well.
Correct, correct. So then I end up deciding how much, where, how many pokes is what I have decided in my head, and I put it on your face. How is this now working? When you want to frown, you're angry or you're irritated or you're concentrating. Who told your muscle that you're doing all this? Obviously your brain, correct? And who communicated from the brain to the muscle? The nerve. What in the nerve is actually telling it? Is it tapping you? No, it is not. It is releasing a chemical called acetylcholine. Now that acetylcholine released by the nerve on the instruction by the brain has to touch a receptor in your muscle for the muscle to react and say, chung, I'm contracting because this fellow told me to contract. What is Botox doing? It is interfering there and it with the receptor. So now the acetylcholine, so that's why when people say, oh, will it damage my nerve? Will I get paralyzed? No, it won't, because it's doing nothing to the nerve. What it is doing is actually making that receptor interference where now acetylcholine will pour there on the receptor and it will say, what do I want? What do you want me to do?
For any function to happen in a body, a chemical has to combine with the receptor for that function to happen.
For example, any function.
So here the Botox is instead going and blocking those receptors.
Correct.
And then that acetylcholine...
So now acetylcholine cannot... He's telling what? This fellow is not understanding, right? So the muscle is not contracting. Eventually Botox will wear off how? New receptors are formed around the same places. That is the magic of our body. It'll recover. New receptors are formed and say, okay, get lost. I'm forming another receptor. Now I will start acting. So it'll last only for 3 months, 4 months, 2 months, depending on how much drug is given, which muscle it is. For example, a masseter, we give a lot of drugs, so it lasts for 6 months. Now, other than taking the line away, what can Botox do? We will do it in the next question. But here, I still want to concentrate so you don't forget how Botox worked, and I will jump to filler. Filler, for example, will fill, like the name says. Fill. Now, what is filler made of? Many, many things. There's calcium hydroxyapatite, there is hyaluronic acid. But in India, the only approved filler is hyaluronic acid. Yes, the famous HA that you put on the skin, all of that. And that HA is what is in your eyeball. What is making fluid inside your eyeball is HA. Fluid in all your joints is HA. The substance in your skin is HA, which gives that hydration, holds the water back, is HA. So HA is a natural substance found in you, found in pig, cow, cat, dog, bacteria, so many things. And HA is one thing which does not have species specificity, which means I can pull out, clean up and put yours to him and his to me and mine to dog and dogs to pig and pigs to me and blah, blah, blah. But what we are using is what is developed on a petri dish. Yeah. So that is pulled out, preloaded in a syringe and given to us. Various companies make it. Each one has their comfort. There are various cross-linking which holds the HA together, which gives different properties to the HA. With a long chain, short chain, how is it combined? How many long chain, how much of short chain, how much of protein is used to bind them, combine them, hold them. Depending on that, it can be more robust, thinner, flowing, sitting, making structure. Then I, as a doctor, will choose what I want to do with that filler on your face. Therefore, I will pick the kind of filler I want. Like, I don't want a very hard filler on the lips, for example. I don't want a very thick filler when I do an under eye job. So like that, I will think and I will choose.
Plus, the patient's skin quality and needs also dictate.
Big time, big time. So all of this, we multiplied into this, and we arrive at what I want to choose. Then I simply, let's say, inject. Now we are only talking lines. What else can be done with filler? We will again talk later. We are only talking wrinkles. So then there are lines which are like etched in, like your laugh line, we said. Like your tear trough line going here. Like your marinate line, which is the line going here. All of these lines are not, is also because of muscle action, also because shift of fat underneath it. Whether from fat underneath it dissolves, but fat from elsewhere overhangs. So there is a fold that happens as you grow older. Like that, fold happens. So these cause those lines, which are sitting, no matter even if you do expression or you don't do expression. Such lines, I'm only filling from underneath and lifting that line up. That is where I use a filler. It will lift, give some hydration, give some biomodulation. It will stimulate your own collagen to behave better. We have put water there. Hyaluronic acid holds a lot of water, so it hydrates you. Plus, it is a substance which is sitting also there. It's an inert substance sitting there, so it's giving you volume also. This is how a static wrinkle or line or fold is worked on.
It's like if the wrinkle or your skin is the roof of a building, these are the pillows. This can hold it up.
Haan.
And inject it with...
Tent pole.
Hmm.
Tent pole.
I wanted to say it's like a bra for your skin and something like that. Okay. Isn't it that?
Yeah. True.
It'll just give like support.
True. True.
Plus, because it's hyaluronic acid...
Hydrates.
Yeah, it'll give that look, that dewy look.
Dewy look. Plus, dewy look may not happen with... If I'm trying to now replace SOOF, which is suborbicularis oculi fat, which is a fat that actually is a deep cheek... With the deep cheek fat, will reduce as you age. So, face, the fat is in usually two loose layers, let's say. One is the superficial fat and the deep fat. In general, deep fat regresses as you age, becomes less. Superficial fat becomes excess and flows down as you age. So that is another thing that causes your folds, your heavy hanging cheek here. All that happens with the fat shifts.
Yeah.
The upper fellow comes down, the inner fellow regresses. So like you said, there is no support. That is when I need to also use fillers to give support. So to give that support, I'm injecting deep. At that time, it is not giving me hydration and dewy skin if I'm doing that. For the dewy skin's sake, I have a thinner filler, maybe a non-cross-linked filler. There is a filler with HAs which are bought together with heat technology, filler with the protein peptide which is available, various other kinds which are available, which are also biostimulating, where I will inject just under the skin. That then gives me to play with this property of hydration and biostimulation. But when I'm using a slightly different filler, I'm looking at its property to hold steady and give me support and lift.
Hmm.
So that's why I said that is various other areas where we are using filler.
On a very, very surface and cosmetic level, a filler is basically, again, slightly causing hydration, may cause hydration, one of the fillers, but it's mainly kind of just holding the skin out.
Sitting underneath out. Wherever I've put it and pushing it out.
And Botox, on the other hand, is just...
Easing it.
Yeah. Paralyzing? You won't say paralyzing.
Not at all. Like I said, it is not killing the nerve, no.
Hmm. So it's just making the muscle relaxed.
Relaxed.
And that, so both basically end up kind of making you look younger.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
What is a youthful face? A relaxed face, because you guys haven't gone through the troubles of life.
Mm.
So it is, now please, all of you youth, don't say we have our own troubles. My daughter will jump at it now. But my whole point is...
Wait for the next 20 years. See exactly. More.
See the real trouble.
See more shit.
Yeah. See the real trouble.
Lots more shit will happen.
So what is it? A youthful skin is skin which hasn't seen so much trouble. Not so many times the eye has, let's say, frowned or whatever. So it's not etched there. So it looks more relaxed, more hydrated, more dewy. Like we explained in that earlier slide, more plumpy, more softer.
You know... As I'm doing these medical podcasts, I'm trying to understand, okay, meko kya janne ki zarurat hai as a consumer. As in, what do I actually need to know? I've realized that Botox as well as fillers, they are very, very niche topics. And as a consumer, it's not my job to know what I actually need. I should go to a good dermatologist.
A doctor should tell you.
Fair?
Of course. There are a lot of people who will come and say, but you know what? You do this here. Luckily, I'm at a stage where if I can call, so I'm like a dictator in my clinic. Whoever you are, I don't give in, because please understand that's not out of arrogance. I know it better than you, right? Yeah. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So listen to me. I will plan your face. Of course, I'm asking you what is your need and how do you want to look and what do you want to feel or whatever. What is your job? What do you want to go back home to? What's your life like? Having said that, once we finish the analysis, I decide where I put and what I put. There is so much internet gyan that people really come to doctors and they say, you put here, you put 1 ml here, or I want filler or I want Botox. Let the doctor decide genuinely. Because when you push these things, again, I don't know how many comments I'll get at the end of it saying differently, but this is not, again, arrogance. This is out of experience I'm telling you. I am at a stage where I can tell people, no, I won't do this, and I will do this, and they will do this. They see the sense in it, and I also know how to explain to them. But a new doctor sometimes, especially if a celebrity goes in and tells them, you get intimidated, isn't it? and you end up doing what they tell you to do, which shouldn't be the case, but that happens at times, then your face will look bad. Then don't crib, oh, this didn't work, or doctor didn't work. You are bulldozing. So stop doing that.
The sad thing is that as an experienced doctor, you have a need to explain this.
Yeah.
This should just be societal understanding. That if you're going to a doctor, you have to trust them.
Yeah.
Can you direct the doctor about surgery? This is surgery what you're doing.
Your work has to be before you reach the doctor's office. Your work should be not what I should do on the face. Who should I get it done from?
Mm.
There you put your research, you put your brain, you talk to people, get your inputs done. Once you reach, that means you've trusted, you've reached her. Allow her to do her work.
So other than the fact that these cosmetic procedures can go wrong if the patient forces it or if the doctor's not experienced and does something wrong, other than these two possibilities, is there any side effects of Botox and fillers?
I'll tell you a side effect of filler. So let's pull up Madonna. We'll pull out Madonna.
So let's pull up Madonna Botox.
Now this image is what blew the net at some point, I remember.
Now,
yeah. So when you ask me, is there a side effect of filler? First thing, like I say, is a natural and an unnatural look depends on the hands that do the filler. The hand behind the tool. That is important. This is one medicine where there's multiple interventions. For example, if you have, let's say, a cardiac surgery, it's once. Very unlucky if it has to be done twice, right? But while an aesthetic intervention is multiple times, you're aging constantly. So you're evolving constantly. So you need to keep working on your face for the next 30 years. That's what I tell people when they say, no, no, please do this also, this also, this also. I am one doctor who says no to 10 things and does one thing. That's because I keep telling them, you're supposed to be with me for the next 20 years. You know, there are so many things to be done. What I do today is not going to get fully erased as much as you wish. That's what I was trying to tell you at that time, saying on a brochure, it might be written 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, but just lasts forever. So the next one will add, next one will add, next one will add. And I told you hyaluronic acid holds water, right? It's like that story of that Rakta Beej. Even if one drop remains, he will grow back. One drop of hyaluronic acid remains, it will still attract more water and grow back in size and volume. So you're adding, adding, adding. Face will become puffy at the end of the day. That is where filler has gained a bad name, where then you need to go to a provider who will tell you no at some point of time and know how little and where to put, which is strategically perfect for your face than saying, I use this many ml. So when you go to a doctor, when they say, oh, but that doctor put 4 ml and each ml was just this much and your each ml is this much. I'm like, firstly, I don't want to use 4 ml on your face. Don't count by ml. I'm not selling a syringe to say, take it and go. What I do with it is what you're paying for. So like that, you need to do least amount of intervention to get. Now, this picture, what has gone wrong is over the years of multiple interventions is number one. Two, this may not all be fillers. They could also be fat injected into the face, which is another thing that people are doing a lot.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah. So they pull out fat from various parts. They piecemeal it. They can put the whole fat. They can centrifuge it. They can do a micro fat, nano fat. They do all of that. They just take the growth factor from the fat and then end up injecting into the face. So there is multiple things that people do. Long time back, one of my people who initiated me, and I'm in love with him till date. And my pride is when doctors come to me for their work. And I can tell you highest number of doctors I work on. Yeah. So when your own fraternity recognizes and says you're good is when I feel yay. So Dr. Waffles Wu is one of my mentors in the initial age. He's one of the very well-known plastic surgeons in Singapore. Even today, if there's anyone that he has to refer in India, he will end up sending. So to me, that's my certificate of excellence. So I remember Waffles talking and a paper I think he published about fat injections into the face and how it's not to be done and how it changes. Those days, the whole fat was given. Now, of course, they kind of, like I said, do a growth factor from the fat, all of this. And it's much more sophisticated. But there's still people who end up practicing putting in fat into the face. Now, this could be one of that. Excessive fat into the face. And two, she's aging. There's hormonal changes that will happen. It could be that. And she must have put on some weight. So all of this. So we can't just say it is just fat in. And there's a facelift. You can see the scar in front of her ear. There is a facelift.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then there is a lateral brow which is lifted. When you see younger also, she does have a little lift there. But this is like completely, And the second thing, what they've done to combat the brow, which is coming down, they've erased off the brow and drawn a pencil line like that. So there's too many things that's gone wrong in it. So you can't just blame it on filler gone wrong. There's too many things that's gone wrong in this. And maybe it's just weight, poor thing. It's that age. It's the hormones, like I said. So as much as I seek and analyze what is going wrong, but I totally empathize and understand that it is not just that.
I'm going to ask a very hardcore question. So please answer it in a long drawn way, however you wish to answer. But all these procedures, are they an addiction for some people? They are.
Oh my God. It's an addiction for everyone. Once you do it, I'll tell you, it's not like I'm talking about it as a bad addiction. If you know something can make you look fab, why won't you want it again?
Like wearing good clothes.
No, I want to look again as good as I looked 3 months ago. So I will go to the doctor and say, okay, again, do my, you know, frown Botox. And I love the way I look, it feels. And like I said, certain things, functionality also improves. So I love it. I want to do it. So that's a good addiction. But where it becomes bad addiction is from addiction changes to obsession. Then you're like, oh, now this last trace of line also I want out. The skin also I want to be pulled. I'm 60, but my jaw has to be as sharp. So pull everything and then put so much. There is a skin excess which is happening. There's multiple things that is changing. So you can't end up having the jawline of a 30 or a 20 or a, let's say, 40 when you're at 60 and 70. No matter what you do, unless you cut the skin, take the excess and stitch it up. So there's right things to do at right age for right issues. You can't be addressing that with fillers. That's when things go wrong and it looks overfilled.
The core of this problem is actually self-medication and self-made decisions in some
self, way. Not always. It's a combination of a lot of things. Not everybody says, you know, I want this done and I want to go. There's also a doctor there who's doing it and catering to it, no?
Okay.
You end up saying no. Like I have people who are addicts, who are obsessive, who want it time and again. There are some things I say, yes, let's do it. This is good for the upkeep. It's important. You do it at timely. So we do the upkeep so it doesn't deteriorate further where I may need to do more work to bring it there. Fabulous. Take care of yourself. I will repeatedly do this maybe, let's say, every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever, depending on what I have done. We will do it. As I keep doing, I keep telling people, first time, for example, if I do a filler, I may take, let's say, 6 ml, just for sake of ballpark figure. And if I tell you, I usually don't like to do everything at once. I end up starting off with an energy-based device because envelope is what is important. So I give them an energy-based device to tighten the skin, stimulate your skin, lift the skin. Then I end up relaxing, which means I use Botox to relax everything. So now I know what I've done is I've lifted, I've relaxed a few lines. Now this is a beautiful state. Then I end up using little fillers to tweak, like I said, move the light reflection here and there. So that looks natural and beautiful when they go out. Now, if I even fillers, sometimes some people come to you so late that they need a little more than just a little filler. So then I end up doing a little, then I may end up doing a second time. Then if I've done my process and I say done, you look at the mirror, you say love it, we are done. Then I don't really use much fillers at all. There are times I haven't even touched a face with a filler for five years. Yeah. So that is where you are. Your intervention rightly, where you're not letting it deteriorate, but you also know what is that fine line where you're not going a little excess. That is what has to be discussed, and a doctor has to put a hard fist down and say no. So that can happen. But I can also say it's not so easy for a young and upcoming doctor to sometimes do that.
Yeah, my question to you was going to be that, has there been a celebrity who's gotten aggressive with you because you've not agreed to them? Or to their demands?
You know, I'm such a bully myself that however big this star is, whether it is a huge sports star or a movie star and business tycoons, we've kind of seen it all. They don't. There are 2-3 things I stand by. Not today. I remember early in my practice, I refused a superstar because he asked me to go to his house and treat. Do I regret it today? Not at all. Even today, I do not go to people's house and treat. One, because at the end, you're a human being, right? You do get intimated when you go to their space. I would rather do it in my space, number one. Two, I have the comfort in my space. I know how my injection chair is. I know what angle it will bend. All of these, for example, how the AC is, how the light is, where I can see the shadow, what I want to do. My comfort is important for me because that's when your outcome will be good. Number three, if anything were to go wrong, human body, I'm poking you, things can go wrong. that is where a senior and a experienced doctors will come, because you then know instantly what to do to get it right. And I have everything that I need to get it right in my place. I can't backpack everything and take it to your place. So one thing, I never go to anybody else's house and work on. Two, my initial discussion is only initially. Once you're on the table, I will do what I have told you I will do. Because I am the expert. I know how it will make you look now, the minute I give you a mirror after I finish, plus how it will look for you 10 years later, even if I don't touch you. So I am already thinking of it and I'm doing, which you don't have the education to visualize.
Okay. Do celebrities request like 3 a.m. appointments so that they're not seen at?
I am bad girl. You have to come at my time. You have to come on my time. We've had secretaries call us and say, nay, nay, they'll be mobbing. We want you to come early morning, late night. No, no. 1 year they won't take an appointment with me. Later 1 year they'll realize this one is not going to budge. They will come. We have a clinic on the third floor and the fourth floor. I also, being cognizant about the kind of crowd I treat, we have a basement where the car straight goes down. And from the basement, you can straight come up to my clinic with nobody seeing you. And we have, since we have two floors, if I really think for the first time, you know, I've had huge stars that chill in my clinic after their second visit. Because they realize, one, we have a no photography policy. Nobody takes a picture. Not the staff, not me, not anyone is allowed to take a picture. So there is no photographs taken.
This is all shetty business brains. But anyway, go
on. Nothing taken. So they are very comfortable in the place. And then we have nicely secluded room. If you see my clinic, you'll realize it's like an art center. My clinic is beautiful. So they come and say it's such positive energy. They love to sit there, drink chai. All of that happens in the clinic and they chill. Also, the crowd that I treat understands their etiquettes. They won't just pounce on them and say, let me take a picture. In fact, there are times that they won't even lift their head and look at you, even if you're walking by. So they realize it in a thing and they're cool. But till they walk in, you have enough grief from their team saying, make sure this doesn't happen. We have some people with Z security coming in also. So they were like, this and all things will happen. I have injected under great pressure of gunmen everywhere also. In my clinic. Yeah. So these things happen. But I have made sure they come to my clinic. My latest, I have opened clinic for someone I can't obviously name, is at 9 in the night. That is the biggest favor I have done. Otherwise, I do not. Because I've told them, I sleep at 9:30. It's disservice to you if you wake me up in the middle of the night. I won't be my best. Why would you want that? So that's how, no. So they come in my time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, when we did the last podcast, in my eyes, as a young professional who's seeing other young professionals, and we spoke about acne in detail, I thought that beyond acne, there's probably anti-aging stuff. But now I've understood that in anti-aging only there's such a deep world of like different things. And we've not even covered eyebrows, eyes, lips until now.
I will do a basic of how you age on the face. Because we've been only talking skin. I want you to know. And in between, I threw some fat. So I just want to tell you, for a layman, like how we talked about cellular aging, I'm talking about skin, face aging, let's say. So firstly, you know that there's a bony framework, skull. Correct? There is a skull. You know that the knee becomes aged because knee, becomes less bony, or the bones become thinner. So the joint gets affected because of that. Resorption of bone happens, right? What you call it, gisjataya type.
Synovial fluid.
That is different. Synovial fluid is different.
We're just talking about the bone density itself. Reducing.
Yes, bone density, bone size reduces. Bone size reduces, yeah? So what happens to the face also reduces, which we don't think of.
A face size reduces.
Yeah. So there is this beautiful paper by Dr. Shaw et al. These are a few game changers in our field. So Dr. Shaw explained in one of his papers where if you say this is the skull actually folds over. Your chin becomes smaller and it folds over. So you see this crease becoming more prominent as you age. Skull literally, and you start showing more of your double chin. Because the chin is now becoming shorter and folding ahead. So that is, thing happens. The opening, you know, there is an opening of the eye. If you see a skull, there are two holes and two holes. One hole, right? For the mouth also, there's one hole. Mouth and nose together. These holes become bigger. Because bone is also getting resorbed there. So the holes become bigger. and it shifts like this. Laterally, it's becoming bigger. So you start seeing this skin going like that as you grow older. Hollow happening here because the bone support is going. And the other very important framework with bone is teeth. How many actors at 50 I've sent them and said, first do your teeth and come back to me. And I plan the teeth with my dentist for, no, not my dentist. As yeah, my dentist, I love her. She's fantastic. But with any dentist that I want to work with or they want to work with, I sit and plan as to how I want the teeth to be. Because for me, that's a big framework. Teeth become shorter and smaller. This whole thing folds over, right? This comes together because like now I'm saying this bone is becoming small. This whole ear is becoming bigger. This bone is also getting small. This bone is also getting small. Teeth is getting small. Where is all the soft tissue going? It'll crowd up. So I want them opening up. So I am going to get their teeth done. Game changer. So you end up getting the teeth done. Then I can inject fillers at the bone where I know the resorption is happening. Sometimes you're born with a small jawline. Like most Indians have a micrognathia, which is small chin. Retrognathia, which is chin, which is retrusive. So that is already making your face soft tissue. And we are soft tissue heavy.
Indians.
Yeah, soft tissue heavy. As in we are chubbier, right? Simply say soft tissue heavy. So that's one of my papers with a few of my colleagues that we wrote, which was published in IRS, which got the best paper award 2-3 years ago. So we did a consensus paper on how the Indian face ages and how different faces ages differently. And how I keep saying we are Indians and not Asians. Because have you seen a Asian face or let's say a Chinese face? So robust the bone structures. They have a big face. And a flat upper face, big chin. But we have a chubby face and a small face. So we are very different than Asians. You can't categorize us as Asians.
Their anyway, faces are more conducive to aging.
Could be because their bony framework is so strong. So they don't just collapse like us.
Mm.
So one is your framework, which is your bone and your teeth. Uske upar you have muscles, fat, ligaments. Fat, like I said, is subcutaneous, which means just under the skin. And then you have the deep fat and the superficial fat, which I just explained. Deep fat regresses as you age. Superficial fat becomes excess and flows down or folds down as you age. That is what is happening. Muscle, kind of, there are theory which says the distance between the bone now changed, right? Skin and the bone, because the bone became smaller. So the muscle contracts is some say, muscle elongates is what say. That's still kind of different papers say a little different things. So you have muscle. It's not big muscle that it'll change. Our facial muscles are thin like ribbons. They're that thin. They're literally like when you do cadaver dissections, it's literally like paper thin. So that much. So oh, how will you bulk it? You can't bulk it. So when people say facial exercise, muscle bulks, it's not going to happen. Yes, it's thin like a ribbon.
Chewing gum khao, double chin jayegi.
Kuch chewing gum khao, to double chin nahi jayegi. Aapka jo jaw hai idhar, uska masseter muscle hai, wo aur badh jayega. और आप ऐसा दिखने लगोगे यू सी दोस हेवी बिग जॉज इट इज बिकॉज च्युइंग गम खा खा के दिस इज अ मेसेट्रिक मसल इट जस्ट एक्सपैंड्स नो च्युइंग गम नो पान नो बिडा नो च्युइंग
सो हैविंग च्युइंग गम इज एक्चुअली बैड फॉर योर लॉन्ग टर्म कॉस्मेटिक्स
इन द कंटूर ऑफ योर फेस
ओनली टीआरएस ओनली टीआरएस गो ऑन
सो देन देयर इज मसल देन देयर आर दिस लार्जर मसल्स लाइक ओनली दे आर लार्ज द रेस्ट ऑफ देम आर ऑल पेपर थिन. The larger muscles probably are your masseter or your temporalis. These are like larger, slightly thicker muscles. You keep chewing, you'll see a lot of people have this temporalis like this. This you will see, they're literally becoming broad and big and this becomes broad and big. So don't do that. Don't keep chewing. Your face is supposed, the aesthetics of the face is when it is narrow. Small faces, they look really pretty, right?
So even, the idea even on men?
Men don't want like this face. Especially Indian men have I've seen when they come for injections, jaw becomes big for most Indian men. And how does that happen? It's not just the mesenteric muscle that I was saying because they either chew gum or pan or they just are angry. So they clench or you're picking up weight and you clench. This overgrows. Beyond that, there is also a salivary gland called a parotid gland here. So you literally see some people's ear or this is what we call pinna. This lifts up with so much fat here. Now that's not necessarily fat. That's a salivary gland. So there is a gland sitting here. Like I said, one of my mentors, Dr. Waffles Wu, has written this paper where he ends up giving Botox even in the gland and it works beautifully well. And I do that so often and I love the way I can shape the jaw. So you do the masseter and you work on the parotid gland. third and the fourth component is there's fat, which is obviously coming in all this area, which becomes excess. They're all superficial fat. Fourth is skin excess happens. And I told you, when anything excess happens, it's obviously coming down here. Then your bone is resorbing. So whatever excess is sitting here as a loose thing, rather than a bony framework, which is occupying it. It is not. It's just sitting here. So it becomes... So that is that. Hey, wait, wait. I have to do one more layer.
Yeah, go
then
on.
The last layer is skin. So when you tell me that I am looking dull as I am growing old, dull is because your shadows of the face are shifting. Your under eye is looking more hollow. This is looking more hollow. This is coming down. There's a shadow forming here. So your skin is now looking not nice, but it is all looking down. So me working only on your skin, mujhe bas ek cream de do, it is not going to work. Like I said, the bone is resorbed. Underneath fat is changing. So there's hollows forming, folds forming, structure changing. Unless I address all of them, it's like you give a dilapidated building and I'll say I'll only paint. Nahi hone wala. You have to do the brick and mortar work. You have to do, if it needs to be, you take off the plastering, brick and mortar and start working on that, what do you call them? The iron rods, which has kind of, they'll say, no, it is all kind of rusted. So we'll have to start working on your inside first. And then you do the brick and mortar. Then you do the plastering. Then you do the painting. So it's same. It's even a car. When it gets dented, you can't just polish it. Paint it. You need to undo the dent and then paint it.
This is all artwork. It's too complicated.
Yeah. It's like, too interesting.
It's very interesting.
That is why I think I am still having this childlike interest in my work. Every day when I finish a face, I'm like, oh, fab. I'm only thrilled more than them. And I'll keep looking at the mirror and say, look at this. And they're like so thrilled. And I'm also thrilled at my work. It's because each face is different and such an artwork and it's such a pleasure for me to work on. So I'm not bored, though I'm doing the same 10 things over this many years.
I think this show has grown because I'm pretty vulnerable and genuine. I was planning the end of the episode somewhere in the middle of what we were talking about.
Sorry.
And I was going to say that aging is a privilege denied to many, which is why you should value aging.
Yeah. But yeah, I get that.
I had no idea about the biology. I didn't even know your bone structure changes and all that much. I knew it does a little bit, but not as much as you've described it.
And there is a lot more to aging than solution than just Botox and filler. Lot more to it.
Didn't even think that way.
So people who say no Botox, no filler, I don't want to put foreign things in my face. I want to be as natural. I want to age gracefully. There is so much more to aging gracefully, stimulating your own collagen, keeping it natural. What are those few things that you can do? That also can be discussed.
Yeah. Roughly, what's the right age bracket to consider getting an anti-aging treatment done?
Scientifically, 25.
Huh? Okay.
It starts.
I thought you were going to say like 35, 40.
No. For Indians, I would push it to 30.
What's
we are blessed. Okay. We are blessed because our skin has the right amount of oil. It is not very dry like a Western skin or a Caucasian skin, nor is it very oily like a Asian skin. Yeah, we have that right balance. Nor is our skin too thin like a European skin, nor is it too thick and sebaceous and seboric like a Chinese or an Asian skin. We have fabulous there. Nor is our skin too oily and too... Color is not extreme like the African skin or extreme in terms of like the Aryan skin.
Scandinavian.
Yeah, Aryan, Scandinavian skin. So we are color also is beautiful. We've got that exact spectrum between 2 to 5 in the Fitzpatrick scale. There's a scale of color and how you burn in the skin is what they take into consideration. The scale from 1 to 6. It's called Fitzpatrick scale. So one is extreme, fair, burns easily in skin, becomes very red, all of that. While 6 is the darkest in shade of the color, which is, and don't burn easily, but tan very badly. So that is the scale. We fall in that sweet middle, 2 to 5. And we are Indians. We do yoga. We are Indians. We do fasting. Some good habits inculcated in us where we eat things like curcumin, which is made a big deal right now, which is also an anti-inflammatory, which makes it even anti-aging, but we have it in the food. We have piperine, we have it in the food. We have so many things already in our food. So our food is well thought about by whoever started it all. So we are eating right, we are eating well, we consume less meat. Even if you're a non-vegetarian family, it's not that you have only non-vegetarian, right? We have definitely vegetables, otherwise we used to get beaten, literally. So
yeah.
you have your vegetable. I'm a South Indian, Mangalorean, fish was there. That's one meal. But vegetable is there on the other meals, right? Chicken was never very fancy in our house. We used to just have it on a Sunday, that too, if you feel like it. This is just fish along the way. A lot of vegetables. So vegetables is there. So all of this, and our weather is not extreme. We don't have an extreme cold or an extreme heat which will dry us, kill us from the outside, or change our DNA from outside with extreme sun exposures like maybe the Australians. Ozone layer, I'm hoping, is not yet as damaged. So with all of this, we are at an advantage.
Before we head into our next section, I just want to highlight two men who I think have aged very gracefully. Sunil Shetty and Akshay Kumar.
Shetty. It's the Shetty jeans and the Punjabi jeans.
Also, do you think the core of this is fitness?
Core of this is fitness. Core of both of them, if you see, are into fitness, martial art, yevo, all of that. Lifestyle.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Matlab, both are martial artists who are practicing.
Oh, fab. See, there you go. And food control. I've heard Akshay's food and both of them. Food control is amazing. They eat right. Sleep on time. Yeah, and that circadian rhythm maintaining. They don't stress the body unnecessarily. There's no aggressors unnecessarily forced upon the body.
Yeah.
Baki ka to life happens. But if you, from your end, can actually control what you can, that's always what you can do. So like you said, food, exercise, lifestyle, discipline, repeatedly doing the same thing. Repeatedly doing the same thing over years. As in, stick to that discipline day after day, day after day, day after day, no matter what.
The different aspects of the face, like your eyebrows, correct, your lips.
The features, let's call them.
Yes. And we've only kind of addressed aging as a whole. Then we've addressed Botox and fillers. You've addressed aspects of what I would like to even bracket as plastic surgery, ma'am.
Yeah.
Like that pulling up.
Correct.
That is plastic surgery.
That is surgery. Whatever you need a knife to cut is plastic surgery. Now, these days, it is not just non-invasive and invasive like it used to be before. Non-invasive is you don't get in something on the top. Invasive is what you have to get through the skin. That was the only big distinction earlier. But now, with so much advent of science in the last 20 years, it's non-invasive, minimally invasive, and invasive. So that minimally invasive is your very, very sweet spot where you're microneedling for acne, for example, Botox, your fillers, your certain laser equipments, which like take away a little chunk of your skin to rejuvenate the rest of the skin. So all of this comes in a little invasion, minimally invasive. And then, of course, is invasive, which is plastic surgery. So wherever you have excess skin cut and you need to pull, that became plastic surgery. Excess skin under the eye, cut, pull and tighten this, that became the blepharoplasty, plastic surgery. Cut and pull the neck skin, plastic surgery. If you want to do a filler with a nose, with a Botox and nose, it makes the nose very beautiful. But if you say, no, I don't want to keep doing it, I'll put an implant. Then you have to cut and put an implant. Then that became surgery. So everything today can be done with minimally invasive and invasive. Major differences, minimally invasive may have to be repeated. While invasive is plastic surgery is good for around 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't say it's permanent.
Really?
10 years. Ages. Now face keeps. So second facelift, they will do a little later.
What is a facelift?
So facelift has evolved with more fancier terms like ponytail lift, vertical lift and horizontal lift and XYZ and all that. Yeah, but imagine. Exactly. Imagine you're pulling all your hair up. Isn't your skin looking tighter? So they call it ponytail lift. Basically, they're lifting this, and cutting that excess skin and removing, not just the skin. There's more to it. You dissect between the below the skin, this mass lift they will do, which is a ligament under the skin, like a sheet. So that they will lift. Soft tissue repositioning they will do. Like I said, fat goes away, other fat comes down. So you need to reposition it all back. So all this is done in various ways. The same thing, some people will call it a vertical lift because they're repositioning fat here. They're kind of cutting and removing. Blepharoplasty is done. All this is what? Vertical lift. So these are being done. Minimal facelift is also done where they will just do a little bit of incision, small incision and small facelift. Early facelift in your 45s and 50s is becoming a fashion now so that it doesn't kind of fall and then you don't have to lift it.
So a facelift done at the right time is beneficial.
Much better than facelift done much, much later in life. Damn. Only brow lift is done. So all this can be, only neck lift is done for a lot of people. So I'm fine with the face. What I don't like is this hanging neck here. So they'll end up doing just a little neck lift. They are happy to do that. You can do everything today.
Okay. Hmm. Biologically speaking, how does one actually pinch the skin back? Do you do some stitches like in this region? That's what I'm assuming.
Surgery, you're saying, no?
Yeah.
So that's what, inside the hairline, they usually take an incision. So it's not seen. So if I take an incision here, then I pull everything inside. I'm dissecting, pulling everything, stitching it up. Your scar is nice. But there are some, they will also do a pre-tragal scar here. That's beautifully concealed these days. Some people take it all behind the ear. So it's done here. Depends on various surgeon what he's good at.
Can I ask you a slightly counterintuitive question? You can answer it however you wish. What if I'm someone who's still, even after getting all this education, and I'm again, this is my own personal mindset. I'm not 45, 50 yet and dealing with aging related skin trouble. But in my heart right now, I don't feel like I would want to get fillers and Botox because I
don't.
Okay.
Don't. That's what I said. It is not just about fillers and Botox. Like, though I pride in saying that I do a fabulous job and I'm known for it, I am the one who tells half the patients, don't too early, don't too many areas, don't this, not necessary, don't, let's do it later. You will know it from my patients. Don't do it. It is fine. But if you wish to do it, I don't want to body shame you for that. That is what I want to communicate. If I can, any strong communication through this podcast, I want to say, like how one day sex education was so taboo, people did all the wrong things, right? Because they felt shy to ask their mother. They felt shy to ask their teacher. It was a taboo. Where would you go and ask when the hormones are raging and you are wanting to indulge? How do you safely indulge? Or if something goes wrong, what do you do to have it taken care of? You didn't know. You went to the wrong reasons. Abortions happened in such wrong places. People died with infection, wrongly done abortions, right? All this happened because it was such a taboo. Sex was such a taboo. All I want to say is, please don't make Botox and filler a taboo today, because today is the age where there's so much Instagram, everyone doing pictures. Every young girl wants a poutier lip. They will do it. They will do it in the wrong place, behind you, with less research, in a hurry, in a hush-hush, if you don't empower them with knowledge. That's all is what I want. And number two, if a youngster, 20s like you said, 30s like you said, or 40s, wants to go and do Botox, don't shame them for it. Oh my God, iska chehra dekho, usne khud Botox kiya hoga, or something like that. Or, you know, Botox, why would you want to do that? I see a lot of women come to me and they say, I don't want anyone coming to know, especially my husband, he'll hate it. Why? Doesn't your husband dye his hair? Doesn't he go and work out in the gym to look fit? Why would he hate if you wanted to take care of what you feel not so happy about? It is okay. You're not allowed to call fat a fat. You're not allowed to call black a black. You're not allowed to call, let's say, something else or something else. But you're okay to body shame a person who wants to tackle aging in the way she wants to do it, or aesthetics in the way she wants to do it. To each his own, fine. This is not a judgment call. What we can empower people is give them the right knowledge, understand how, why, what is done, where is a safe place to go. If something goes wrong, what are your options and what can you do? This is it.
Okay. I'll tell you the conversation with a lot of people. Mine, it's often noticing the lips of
bad job.
That's when you notice.
When you notice, it is a bad job. You should be able to do your job, get out where everybody will say, wow, isn't she looking fresher? What did she do? This woman just doesn't seem to age. What did she do? Or this man looks younger, youthful, sharper. What did he do? Can't put a finger. The minute you can put a finger and say, she did a lip, she did a brow, she did a cheek, done, finished. Defies the purpose.
Okay. Sharper question. What's the price difference between these two brackets of procedure?
Large. Like, for example, I know for an, let's say filler we are talking, for an Botox we are talking, that's by units. Filler is usually by ml. Internationally, now they've started doing it by area. But India still this is the culture. So you need to be in this sea. You need to price it accordingly. So for example, a filler Botox, I know of doctors who give it at 200 rupees a unit. Mine is a 450 rupees plus GST a unit. या वन यूनिट में कुछ होने वाला नहीं है, यू नीड मिनिमम लेट्स से 10 यूनिट्स टू डू समथिंग हैपनिंग. सो दैट्स द मल्टीपल्स. वाइल अ फिलर, आई नो ऑफ डॉक्टर्स हु डू इट एट 11,000-13,000 अ सिरिंज. We are, I think if I'm not wrong, I don't know my rates genuinely because I don't deal in that thing. Somewhere around almost a 39 plus GST.
Wow.
Is 1 ml. So I'm literally 3x the lowest price.
Hmm.
Like I said, that is the price difference.
Yeah. And it's a very, very apt pricing. Because
I think you're paying for my skill and for my knowledge, my judgment, my years of experience, not for that syringe that I'm picking up.
There's no counter argument to this.
Yeah.
For example?
You go to your cardiac surgeon. Do you ask stent kitne mein aaya?
Hmm.
You don't, na? He's putting it in. You're paying a Dr. Bhattacharya. You're paying a Dr. X, Dr. Pandya. You are not comparing price at that time. So please understand, it's as serious as that. It's trivialized. Sorry, but it's as serious as that.
No artist in the world would not want to share their art with another human being who's a customer.
Hmm.
So the pricing has also been made according to what they think is apt for their skill set, experience, etc. Which is why, again, you shouldn't bargain. Like, same rule even with tattoo artists and all this.
Yeah.
Like, like, there's so many young kids. I was one of them, you know. Because I was earning money through my college internships, I wanted to save money. Worst decision.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest.
Do it now. Do it 10 years later.
Yeah, but do it right.
Yeah.
Anything you're modifying in your body. Anything.
This is body. It's not fashion. Okay, today I can afford this shirt. I'm buying tomorrow. I'll buy the better one. Nikal ke fake diya. This is gone.
Hmm.
Not what happens in your body, right?
Yeah. I think that's the big education I want to give through the screen.
Yeah.
But I think the education you wanted to give through the screen, I don't exactly understand why, because this is not the worst Botox I've seen.
Ah!
You wanted to pull up. You wanted to pull up this image. This is not the worst Botox that I've seen. Like, I very clearly know this is Botox, but I see so many people with...
I also didn't want to look at a fully distorted face. Then what's the point? Then you know it's horrible work. Why am I even analyzing that? So, look at her. What is... Two things I'll tell you. Many things have gone wrong, which you guys can see. Her brow is a little hooded. Forehead is looking too shiny. But even while she was young, she was pretty much... All this was happening. It's just exaggerated as she grows older. Two big things, let's say, since you start off with lip. Look at her lip.
Hmm.
It actually looks like overfilled and there's some allergy to it almost because it looks like water-filled.
Hmm. It looks like a BS tongue.
Yeah. Now, that is because if you see her younger picture, she's got one, a very thin lip. Two, this is a nice picture where she's smiling full. Can you see the lip is interned?
Hmm.
A lot of people, when you smile, lip turns in.
Hmm.
And they always say, when I'm okay, I'm okay. When I smile, it just disappeared my lip.
Hmm.
Now, that is a very challenging job to do. So, you can't just fill more in that. It'll only turn in more. So, there is a way of working on that lip to be able to evert that lip. And we also add a little bit of toxin to take away that muscle which is here, which is strong, which is actually pushing it down. So, that's a difficult job to do. Now, having said that, also her teeth, like I keep saying, is very inward like this. So there is no support to the lip from inside. Plus the lip is turning in. And someone in the attempt of making the lip bigger has put so much material. Now it's just become like two thick sausages.
Mm.
Not aesthetic, number one. Yeah. Two, of course, there's a little bit of overfilling happening. There's also a little bit of overhanging happening. All this is
what age. Is overhanging?
Tissue that I said will hang. So this is age and filler together.
Hmm.
Other thing that's gone wrong in this image is, you should actually, there's this, I've seen a few of these images because I used to use her in lecture years ago. You will see another image where she's Botoxed her eye, the crow's feet, and this has become flat.
Hmm.
So when she's smiling, even this you can see, this is all, in this little lines are seen, but this goes flat. So they say, you know, smile doesn't carry to your eye. So you're smiling, this is flat. That little crinkling happens is what the smile gets carried, number one. Two, the orbicularis oris, oculi, which I said is the eye muscle, which shuts and opens the eye. That muscle is not just shutting and opening there. That's not its only function. And smile and crinkle is not its only function. These fibers of it also act as a cheek elevator, which means it lifts the cheek up. When you smile, how is this cheek lifting up? Because this muscle is active and it's pulling it up. Now, to get rid of these lines, if I were to Botox here, and if I do this, when I smile, there's a shelving sign See? So a cheek is also not lifting enough. So now the cheek is hanging even more because I'm not allowing the fellow to lift. This hang increases.
Mm.
So it happens like a shelf. Here it shelves right here. It doesn't carry forward. And I was telling you, the light has to reflect here in a youthful face, not from a here. Now I'm adding to that, na? By not allowing that fellow to come up only. So that is another finer thing that's gone wrong here.
I hate comparing bad steroid use to what we're seeing on screen. So this is methamphetamines, which is a drug.
Achha, huh.
Matlab, drug addict. So this is methamphetamines are a huge problem in America, Australia, all these places.
So fat loss. Look at the fat loss.
It's fat loss mainly?
So badly. Fat loss. Most of these things kind of corrode and kill the fat adipose tissue.
Okay.
Like a lot of earlier HIV patients used to say. It's the fat loss. So that's what is making it really bad.
I've always wondered what exactly goes on. So it's fat loss. Fat loss from the face.
Very along bad with fat loss.
I think methamphetamines make you lose teeth and all also. So it does.
Bone also. It even kills bone density. So all of that.
Okay. Oh, which is the same thing as what
GH we spoke increases about. Bone density.
Okay.
What you will see that hooding in those extra GH fellows, they start looking wide.
Yes.
Brow starts looking hooded.
So
it's growing everything.
Type anabolic steroids before after face.
So that is a very wrong thing to do. It's a short-term gain that you get, but in the long term, GH, it's like you're growing and you're dying, right?
Mm.
You grow, and you die. So you grow, which is an anabolic or a good phase. Then there's a catabolic phase of cells dying, cells slowing down, things deteriorating. One fine day, nothing works. So you die.
Mm.
This is the graph of life, correct? Now you try to speed in this graph, you will die fast.
Mm.
That's as simple as that. So you will see that there are studies which show that species with hibernate live longer because they're shutting down everything at that time. So it's simply like very, very superficially put, I'll say, where the day you're born, you get X number of breaths.
Mm. It's what they say in yoga as well.
Oh, really? I'm just making an analogy. So I'm saying if you finish that much, you're dying.
Mm.
So when you do GH, you're speeding up that growth. You're doing all of that. Grow. What is the end point of grow? You don't blast away.
Mm.
You then finish the growth capacity and you fall down. So that is what you're accelerating. Why would you do that?
I mean, for a sexier body.
That's temporarily. The rest of your life, then you will live like this. Yeah.
Not that I am recommending this.
But see that muscle hypertrophy, bone hypertrophy. This fellow will grow everything, no?
Hmm. But on the face...
And who finds this attractive? Please tell me.
I mean, ma'am, you know, the thing is, as I'll give the male perspective. I've never used steroids, but I've gymmed.
Don't.
Yeah, I don't intend on, because I don't need to. I don't have to take off my shirt for the sake of my profession.
Even if you take off your shirt, I think there are better ways of doing it, aren't there?
There are, but you know, it's the thing is, okay, I'll tell you, there's two angles to this. One is, as a guy, when you start putting on muscle in life for the first time, it's very addictive, even without steroids.
I'm sure.
So imagine how much that addiction is driven up when you start using anabolic steroids. And then, because once the steroid effects wear off, you start feeling very demotivated.
I know I'm talking... whatever I feel like, because it's your podcast and I can talk. My thing is, that shouldn't happen. Imagine all those young guns as a star, you're showing and saying, this is who I am.
Mm.
You and I are educated enough to understand this is not natural. He's taken GH or he's taken whatever he's taken. But there is a wide population who thinks that this can happen. He's looking like this. Why am I not able to look like this? And go to every extreme to get it happening. If you can, great. But if you don't, imagine the demoralized, demotivation, sad you feel and dejected you feel about your body not looking that way.
We had Ronnie Coleman, who's the most legendary bodybuilder of all time. He's like the Shah Rukh Khan of bodybuilding. He was on the show and we rated bodies of like actors. The bottom line was probably only less than 10% of all Bollywood and Hollywood actors have not used steroids to make that body. It's very obvious. I think
the
even
ones
though
who make should at least give us the disclaimer saying we've used.
Yeah, I think Imran Khan, you know, Jaane Tu Ya Jaane Na, he came out and said that I'd used
it. Did he?
And he didn't even have a very memorable body. So imagine if that guy's using it, how many of these other guys have used it? It's so normalized in...
I know it when they do it. And when we put in certain, sometimes a filler, when they end up using either testosterone or they end up using other anabolic drugs, there's a lot of inflammation also in the body. So these things inflame and there's water retention sometimes happening.
One second, ma'am, you're saying the steroids combine with the work you are doing?
Because I have done some work, for example, on somebody's face.
Sure.
At a good face, they are looking lovely. One movie or one phase of their life when things are going on, they end up taking all these anabolic stuff and, you know, testosterone is also anabolic. All of these you end up taking and you come back, which is highly inflammatory. It's like taking bad proteins also with it. So it's inflammatory. Excessive proteins, I would say, not bad proteins. So the fillers that you've put in can inflame, right?
Damn.
Along it, there can be. So there are some fillers which are highly, though we, it was in one of those international great fillers from the best company there is. But I remember that that's a little highly inflammatory. I learned my lesson. So I never use that on actor men or, you know, glamorous men, because you don't know when they will do something where the inflammation will kick in.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that that's something you have to keep in your mind. Aap steroid lene wale ho na?
And sometimes they will tell you, sometimes they will not tell you.
That's happened?
Of course. It's a very thing for them to say, my testosterones are very high. I don't need testosterones. So I'm a doctor at the end of the day. I know I'm a dermatologist, aesthetic dermatologist, but I've done MBBS where I've studied the whole body and I know how the body works.
Okay.
So I want to do a little bit to finish off to say that I know we've spoken so much in depth and many, many, many digressing things, which I enjoyed chit-chatting. So for aging, for a normal human being, what can you end up doing for yourself at home? One most important skin care from the outside, what can you do? Moisturize, moisturize, moisturize. Very, very important, because you protect the barrier. Barrier knows to protect itself. Once the barrier is protected, even it knows to protect its own microflora. Like the gut we spoke had flora, skin has its own microbiome. So it knows to save it. If the microbiome is intact, that will itself protect you. So this is all self-protecting. The only thing you can end up doing is well moisturize your skin. Number one. Two, sun protection. I understand my mom never wore a sun protection. Her skin is great, but it was that day where the sun wasn't that harsh. She wasn't out all the time. They were at home most of the sunny hours. And their food was much better. So oxidative stress, inflammation was better taken care by the food. We are not doing all of that. So sun protection is important. These are the two things you can do from the top. Very, very important. The rest is, of course, additional skincare. We can go on and on and on. Peptides and anti-aging serums, creams can be at another whole show. But really? These two very important. Oh, yeah. Huge. So these are just two most important things you can do from the outside. Two most important thing that you need to do from inside, like I said, two buzzwords, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. So make sure you exercise, eat right, stress less, do yoga, walking, meditation, whatever it takes to calm you down. That's greatly anti-aging. Three, happy, 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 happy all the time. Gratitude, which makes you even happier. That is something that you do from the inside. Now, other than Botox and fillers, like you said, I don't want to do, what else can I do? Whole load of things that you can do. Simple things like go to the right doctor to do a facial. Simply stimulating your face, putting a lot of moisture. Small equipments like radio frequency, which just heats up your tissue deep inside to collagen, stimulate your own collagen. Works wonderfully well. You could end up doing tiny little biostimulation with your own PRP sometimes, with your own GFC. Like I said, you go to a surgeon, he'll do it with a little bit of factors, growth factors from the fat, adipose-derived growth factors.
This is all starting from mid-20s, right? Like I'm assuming.
Late 20s. Like I said, because we are Indians, we'll give us another 5 years.
Okay.
So late 20s to early 30s, you can. But go to a doctor at around the mid-20s to understand, you know, what are the creams and lotions I should start in. Supplementation is a huge thing right now. Simply taking the omega-369 supplements really helps you as an anti-inflammatory and keeps the moisture well. When I say moisture, it's not just water. It's water and the essential oils to hold it and protein to protect it. These three come together to hold your skin together. So you need supplements to make all this happen. So for example, every patient who comes to my clinic for the purpose of anti-aging and making the skin look supple, what's the difference between an old skin and a young skin? It's just that that elasticity, that suppleness of the skin is there, right? So it's dewy, glowing, less showing of pores, more even toned, less dry, well hydrated, correct? That's a younger skin as against an older skin. So I like to give something. I have my own line of supplements, which I kind of completely love.
Which we'll link down below.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you. Like many people keep asking, why don't you have your own line of creams? I didn't see the need because there's such wonderful creams available. I can pick and choose what I want from different lines. Now, supplementation is not FDA monitored. It's FASC monitored, which is food monitored, food and drug monitored. So it's very loosely monitored. So there are so many supplements out there from not legitimate sources where you don't get what you're seeing and what you're reading. So for me, I believed in internal health giving you outer external glow and external youthful skin. So what I put inside was very important. So supplementation was very important. I never found anything which was great. So I said, I'll make myself. So that's an important. So for anyone who is wanting that dewy, soft, anti-aged look, like I said, antioxidant. So Raw Bright is a fabulous antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. Raw Defense is great. It has things like ginger, curcumin, milk thistle, tulsi, piperine, all of these powerful antioxidants. So that's something that it has. And Hydrate we have, which holds the water to the body with some marine collagen, with lutein, with zeaxanthin, with hyaluronic acid in it. It's a wonderful tablet. And then Primrose, which gives you the oil that I was talking about. So the Primrose, Raw Primrose has Primrose, flaxseed and vitamin E. So combination of this works beautifully to cut inflammation, cut oxidative stress, give you the water, give you the oil. And that makes the skin so much more youthful when you take it for a certain period of time. So this is it. Moisturizer on the top, sun protection on the top, good lifestyle, some good food and good supplements.
This whole section that you've spoken about is going to be torn up into a whole other episode.
Okay.
Like we're going to open it up because yeah. I think supplementation as well as diet and all is a whole other episode. But I think that's it for today, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
I'm saying this as a compliment. But this is way deeper than what I expected. I already expected it to be very deep as a conversation. But you've just like blown my mind away like in today's episode.
Thank you.
I'm sure the audience feels the same.
Oh, you know what? I must tell you all that I prepped. After I came to the acne episode, I said, yet another interview, yet another kid interviewing me. I'll just breeze through it. He was quite deep and I knew he had done his work. So I love it when he's done his work. I said, I can't fall short. So I did prepare for all of you today, especially that did some more literature reading and came prepared for you. That's my compliment for you saying.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, very, very intense episode. There's few episodes that stay with me. You know what? Some of the things scared me, honestly, today because you've spoken about truths of life. But I'm glad that I get to learn it at 30.
Yeah.
Because as you said, this is the right time for all these
Everything. Things.
And even if you don't want to end up getting Botox and fillers, there's a lot of other
you
stuff that you
don't have to at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
There's a lot of other stuff that one needs to know. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to be spoken about more on the internet. So thank you, ma'am. This is a thank you to you and the body of work behind you.
Thank
so you. It's all resulted into this. Dr. Rashmi Shetty, we'll be seeing you again very, very soon.
Thank you.
That was the episode for today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've uploaded a massive number of medical podcasts lately. If you enjoyed this particular conversation, make sure you check those out as well. I love talking to doctors, especially when it's over 2 or 3 hours and there's a beautiful audience that consumes this kind of content. Yeah, honestly, podcasters, content creators get motivation from the validation that we sense online. So thank you for all the views. Thank you for all the support. I send all of you guys love. The intention with which we create content has always been healing. It's all about spreading healing. It's all about spreading positivity. And I hope that that's what you gained from this episode. Other than the obvious atom bombs of knowledge that Dr. Rashmi Shetty shared with us, TRS will be back very, very soon. Dr. Rashmi Shetty will be back very, very soon. There's a lot of other topics that we need to explore with her. So in the comment section, tell me what you thought of this episode. Give me all your feedback, both positive and negative. We're going to keep improving TRS. We're going to keep getting you lots and lots and lots of great podcasts. Just sending all the love and all the appreciation right back at you.